And Governor Ned Lamont announces the launch of Connecticut's first rapid COVID-19 testing center in New Haven. Test results delivered in 30 minutes at no cost to the patients. It's pretty cool. It's using this new Abbott ID Now COVID-19 test. CVS Health is planning to conduct up to 750 tests per day, 7 days a week. All patients seeking to be tested will be required to pre-register in advance. And online, here's how it works. Anyone experiencing certain COVID-19 related symptoms and risk factors as defined by CDC guidelines, as well as those who meet certain requirements, including state residency and age guidelines, are eligible. All patients must register online and schedule a time slot prior to arriving at the test site. Anyone who does not have an appointment will not be tested. Tests can be scheduled for the same day or up to 2 days in advance. This is how you register. www.cvs.com/minuteclinic/COVID-19-testing. The testing will not take place at any of the CVS pharmacies or Minute Clinic locations, but will be held at the former Gateway Community College parking lot, by the way, that's located at 60 Sargent Drive in New Haven. For the safety of patients and health providers, all patients must arrive in a vehicle. At this time, right now, no walk-up testing is being offered. Now, when patients arrive, they're required to remain in the vehicle. Team members will check your registration and direct you through the testing process. Healthcare providers, including nurse practitioners and physician assistants from Minute Clinic, will be on site to oversee the testing. The process takes approximately 30 minutes. This is from the collection of the swab to the delivery of the results. Testing is available at no charge to the public. Remember, like I said, the former Gateway Community College parking lot is where it's going to be held. And it's selected by state officials because it is an easily accessible area that is able, really, to accommodate multiple lanes of cars at one time. The state is providing security, personal protective equipment, supplies for the team administering the test, and on the grounds of logistics. By the way, our first guest of this morning can really speak more to this because it is in his district. All the more reason to have him on, and he's one of our favorites too. He is State Senator George Logan. George, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going, Gary?
Not too bad, my friend. How about you this morning?
Doing all right. Up and at it. Working remotely for my other day job I've got here.
That's right. I would imagine you're a busy guy, huh?
Absolutely. Working for a water company, folks are always going to need their water. So,
of course,
we're still going full steam there. And plus, I have all my, constituents and businesses in district with, we all have all kinds of issues that are going on. So, putting out fires, answering questions, getting information to people, all of that is also happening.
I would imagine your constituents may have more questions now than any time you've been in office, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I got a call yesterday from someone that I would see when I was coming back from Hartford. There was a restaurant, a steakhouse that I would stop in every once in a while. So he kind of recognized me, right? Yeah. And not even in my district. He called me up with an issue. He found my number online and he gave me a call, so about unemployment. So, yeah, a lot of folks are out there and, desperate in terms of, money, how they're going to pay their bills.
Yeah.
Folks worrying about essentials like, food, and I even got someone calling me about toiletries, toilet paper. Still getting calls about toilet paper, so I had to direct them to a couple other grocery stores that I know of that had toilet paper.
Well, that's good.
I get all kinds of questions.
I got to tell you something. I've been out of office for the last a little over a year. Since January of last year of 2019, and just since this coronavirus outbreak, I have had about 6 or 7 constituents contact me, thinking I'm still their state representative. So, they'll call me or they'll Facebook message me, and they're like, hey, Gary, I need, I have a question for you when it comes to this and this and that. And I'm like, boy, these are great questions. I wish I had the answers to,
I hear you. You know, and this is like such a, a privilege, you know, to be able to help, you know, the public, help folks in the community, right? And people don't forget, right? It's embedded in their minds, you know, and, you know, again, trying to do everything that, that I can. And, you know, it's tough to some degree because I am a state legislator, right? State senator. I go to Hartford. I don't go to Washington. So I get a lot of questions that are really federal level type questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get a lot of questions that the governor's office are the ones who are, you know, making these executive orders and are setting a lot of the policies during this, you know, this emergency, this pandemic. But I do have the lines of communication to the governor's office, you know, probably more direct than the average citizen or business owner. So,
of course,
you know, utilizing that as well. So it's just a lot of communicating going on, trying to, you know, collect the questions and issues to try to get them to the governor's office in an organized fashion and hold them accountable to get me answers, you know, as quickly as possible.
So. Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's a lot of people that have confusion between local government, state government, and federal government. And they kind of think they're all interchangeable. And that's,
yeah, you know, and I tell folks, don't worry about it. You know, call me up, whatever your problem issue is with government. And, you know, I'll try to handle it, you know, directly, or I'll do what I can to, save them time and direct them to the right, you know, resource or the right office and that sort of thing. So
that's great.
I just encourage everyone, just, you know, got a question, government? You know, Senator Logan, give me a call. My name, my office, you know, we'll try to, you know, answer.
One call, fix all. Hey,
that's
by the
it,
way, speaking
exactly.
of which, you've got this great program going on down in at Gateway Community College parking lot there, huh?
Yeah, in terms of the testing that's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I do get a lot of calls from folks. I had one, for example, that called me yesterday, and one of her coworkers, you know, caught COVID-19, and unfortunately she passed away, you know, recently. And she, you know, was concerned because she said, hey, about a month ago I was ill as well, and they told me it was an upper respiratory infection. I'm worried that I may have had her, you know, COVID-19. So she wanted that sort of antibodies test to know if she had it or not. So helping her out to see if I can find a way to get her tested, you know. But folks got to remember, they're really focusing mostly on first responders, frontline workers, and folks that are exhibiting symptoms right now. So, you know, but I tell folks, though, if you have any concerns, you know, please, you know, contact me. We can try to figure out a way to get you tested if you feel you have a justification or reason for it. And, you know, we've had folks like, you know, CVS and other organizations that are doing the testing. You know, Griffin Hospital, I'm on the board of directors there. We were doing some testing there as well. So there's a lot going on in that realm.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. But they still need a referral from their physician in order to hop in this COVID-19 line over at Gateway, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a referral, or you can go online and register, right? Remember, you can, you know, register, and they'll ask you a series of questions, and, you know, hopefully that'll, you know, bypass some of that if you're showing the symptoms. But, yeah, so we have to be careful because there's still a limited number of tests available. And so obviously a state of, what, 3.6 million people, we don't have enough testing capacity to test everyone. So we have to prioritize it in some way. So folks have to be patient.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Good point. How your New Haven County's got hit hard, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, many of the counties that, you know, have, you know, urban areas, urban communities where you have a very dense, you know, concentration of people, certainly, you know, which makes sense, are being affected more than, you know, other, you know, rural and suburban areas. And in the urban areas, you know, there's still also the issue of, just getting the word out and, getting information out and, you know, personal protection equipment, like face masks and that sort of thing. We still have a supply issue there, right? The demand is high, supply is low. So folks are nervous. Folks are not sure what, you know, what to do, you know. A lot of folks in the urban areas work in these, a lot of these service jobs and, that, you know, some of them are still going, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's definitely an issue. So we're trying to combat that as well. And that's where, you know, I've tried to help out, you know, as best I can with, I've been encouraging folks to donate PPE items, personal protection items. And, for example, the Chinese American community has stepped up big time. I was just at a a collection. It was a kind of a, it was a press conference. It was kind of a weird press conference because we could only have five people there, right? But they donated literally thousands of gowns and face masks. Again, this is from the Chinese American community to Yale Hospital, Hartford Hospital, Yale Medicine, Griffin Hospital. So a lot of that's going on as well. And there's individuals that are helping, raising money. There's a Mask for Heroes nonprofit that's been developed to help out to do that as well. So the community is coming together to help each other out, and I think that's a beautiful thing to see. And I'm trying to, you know, working to get a lot of these face masks and PPE and information education, you know, to folks throughout the Naugatuck Valley, in our urban areas, whether it's, you know, Waterbury area, New Haven, greater New Haven area, Hamden, Ansonia, Derby. So getting the information out, coverings are important. I saw a young person walk into the grocery store I was in. He saw the sign. He froze, and he, you know, you couldn't get in without a face covering, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't have anything. So this poor guy, he took his T-shirt and put it over his nose and face and walked in. I thought that was quite creative. You know, but not quite the, you know, point, but, you know, he got the message, and hopefully next time he'll come with a, you know, a bandana or a scarf around his face, or even a face mask if possible.
You know, that's interesting. And, folks, by the way, we're talking with State Senator George Logan. You know, you bring up an interesting point as far as using your T-shirt or anything that you can just to kind of cover your nose and mouth. Are you finding now that Governor Ned Lamont has suggested that effective yesterday at 8 p.m. that to wear masks when you're out in public, are you finding that people are adhering to that, or is it still too early to tell?
People are trying to adhere to it. A lot of folks are still not aware of it, believe it or not. Like that young individual. I mean, he was marching right into this.
Right.
He knew. Fortunately, we taught him well, and he could, you know, read that sign great, and he stopped in his tracks, you know. And I saw him turn around and walk away, and I said, oh, I guess he's going to go home and get a face covering. And then a few minutes later, I saw him in the store doing what I told you, you know.
Yeah.
Folks are getting the message for sure. I think that executive order from the governor, you know, it's a good one, you know. And what I don't like is that people are fearing that if they don't have, you know, the face coverings or face masks in public, that they're going to be fined or arrested and that, you know, that sort of thing. And some communities, some, you know, chief elected officials in some communities are you know, threatening that to their constituents.
I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about
that.
People
are out of work.
Yeah, folks out of work. You got folks that may not have knew about the executive order, folks that are struggling. And, you know, you can't have people in our urban areas or anywhere in Connecticut fearing, you know, going outside because they're going to get fined or arrested. That's not what we're about. So, again, trying to get the appropriate information out there. That's not the intention, I believe, of Governor Lamont. He's trying to, as strongly as he can, suggest and encourage that people, you know, put and utilize facial coverings as much as possible. And if you look at the detail of his executive order, it gives a lot of you know, wiggle room for folks, right? If a child under 2 years old doesn't have to have a face covering, if you have some other pre-existing you know, medical issue or condition that doesn't allow you to wear a face covering, you're exempt. And they're not going to, you know, stop you and ask you for documentation or a note from a doctor or that sort of thing. Your word fine, you know. But you know, we're all in this together. We should practice social distancing. We should, you know, use face coverings as best we can when we can, and you know, try to do everything we can as a community to try to stop the spread without going overboard. Right. Also, the economy itself. I'm getting a lot in terms of, hey, when are we going to be able to start going back, you know, to work?
Well, I was going to be my next question to you, George. Well, we're running out of time, and I wanted to make sure I at least covered that. There's a lot of businesses and restaurants in particular down in the New Haven area and all throughout your district. What are you hearing from the business community? I'm sure your phones are ringing off the hook regarding that.
Absolutely. From businesses and individuals, you know, what's the game plan for coming out of this shutdown?
Good point.
Right? And I am pushing, I am supporting, I am encouraging that the governor's office start to, you know, create, which already should have been created, but in implementing a phased-in approach to coming out of our, you know, out of this this shutdown. And I haven't really seen that yet.
I've said that myself, even this morning, earlier,
That is critical and crucial. We must have a phased-in plan for coming out of this, and we need leadership, and we need to see that plan. We need to make sure that we have the right folks around the table to create that plan, whether it's phasing in terms of restaurants. I'm even getting calls from saloons. salons and barbershops, gyms, fitness centers. There's, they have, lots of spare space that they can use. They say, hey, we can practice social distancing and let people come in and exercise. We can practice social distancing and let people come into our restaurants or come into our barbershops.
Absolutely.
Or nail salons or those sorts of things. So we need a phase-in approach. We need a plan. We need a schedule. We need folks to weigh in on it, and we need that as soon as possible, because I think the economy is something that we don't want to create even more of a crisis than we have now with the pandemic. So it's a fine balance to have. It's a tough balance, but I think we need to make sure that we have our health professionals on one end, on the health side, but we also need on the economy, on the government side, we also need leadership, and we need to make sure that we have a good balance between the two. Right now, I think we're a bit out of balance, and we need to focus, I think, a bit more, put more energy in how we're going to phase back our economy, phase back into our new normal.
Great answer. And we talk about that nearly every day. And like I said a moment ago, this very morning, I even said something similar. Senator George Logan, thank you so much for your time this morning. Always a pleasure to have you. We look forward to next time.